The Tarncast, Tarncast. 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 It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. This is the Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, the Tarncast.
Hello, everybody. I'm John Salvia here, hosting this episode number 1777 of the Tad Rabbert Anderson Toncast. And my guest is here with me. You all know him. It's Tad Anderson.
Hey.
Did I get that right, Tad?
Yeah, you're the only person I've ever met who's mispronounced my name, but I appreciate it, and I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go with Tad.
That's just my accent.
Oh, it's your accent. What's your accent? Where are you from?
I'm from Baltimore.
Ah, Baltimore.
Yeah.
Maryland?
Bodymore, Murderland.
Ah.
Technically.
Yeah.
If you want to pronounce it correctly.
Yeah, because it's got the, at least it used to have the highest murder rate or whatever.
Yeah, you know, we competed with D.C. It was the interstate
back
rivalry.
And forth, yeah.
You know, like, oh, they'd be number one 1 year, we'd be number one the other year. And
did you get mad about that?
I mean, not really, because
no.
We were talking about murder.
Yeah.
It wasn't something to really be excited about.
Some people pride themselves on weird stuff.
Well, it was like the only thing we had to be number one at.
Sure. Sure.
So, it was like the thing we had that nobody else
had. Is there nothing else you could do in Baltimore about murder? Was that
you,
the main sport?
Well, you could not get murdered.
Uh-huh.
Which, that was a bit of a sport in itself.
But that seems like that falls under the umbrella of the sport of murder.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
athletes are the murderers.
Right.
You're the ball, I guess?
We're the guys videotaping the murders?
Oh, that seems a little less like you're in danger of being murdered. But you thought if you videotaped the murders, that the murderers would then turn on you when they were done murdering who they were murdering presently.
So we would have some type of leverage over them, saying, we'll release these tapes to the press if you murder us.
Oh, okay.
That was the thinking.
But in the interim of the murderer seeing you videotaping, were you able to drop it in the mail?
No. We were in constant fear of being actually murdered.
So you can make that threat, but it was an empty threat.
Completely
because if
empty.
The murderer murders you and you have not already put the, I don't know what you recorded on, just your phones, DV tapes.
No, I mean, this is the 90s.
Oh, okay. So you were recording like a Super 8. Situation.
Yeah, we weren't actually recording it. We were just telling them that.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, that's unclear. So either way, the mail thing is beside the point.
Oh yeah,
it was just about tricking a murderer.
Good, just trying to stay alive.
Right.
Really.
Right. Right.
You know, and you.
But
say
you can
you
trick a murderer because we don't live in a fictional world where the purge is happening.
Although, for a fictional show, to trick a murderer.
Uh-huh.
That sounds like an interesting concept.
To trick a murderer.
To trick a murderer.
Out of murdering?
Sure. Okay.
Is that the main thing you want to trick a murderer out of doing? Or murdering the person you want the murderer to murder?
I mean, it could just be like a traditional prank show.
Or you're just making a murderer's car look better than it did before.
You know,
tricking
like
out a murderer.
It could be that. You know, there's all these different ways that that concept could go.
I'm asking questions.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're spitting. We're throwing paint on the wall here.
Is that what you do for a living? You come up with shows?
No.
I mean, this is your show. You have this show.
I have this show.
So why are we spitballing ideas for other shows? I guess is the main...
Well, you said something. You said to trick a murderer.
Uh-huh.
And it sparked.
I think you said that.
Well, you said it first.
Well, I was just saying it in a
sentence,
but you made it a show.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
Correct. I made it the show, but you said the phrase to trick a murderer.
Have you ever spent a lot of time with somebody and nearly everything you say in your dialogue, they turn into a show? Does that happen to you?
No, not to me.
No?
I've done it to other people, though.
You do it to people all the time?
No, not all the time.
How much of what a person says to you do you try to turn into a show? Is that your... Are you perched?
Like
ready to find a show in a dialogue you're having with a person?
Usually only if we're recording it.
Oh, okay.
That's,
so not off mic. It's only on mic.
Yeah. Off mic, you know, we'll talk about way more controversial things.
Okay.
Of which, now you're probably thinking I'm going to give you an example of what some of those things might be.
Yeah. Like, if you were in a bar in Simi Valley.
Yeah.
Having a lunch and a margarita.
Yeah.
With somebody you haven't seen in a while.
Uh-huh.
Like, what is the controversial conversation you might have?
This is
with
really
that
abstract.
Person? I'm just throwing that out there.
Super
it's a hypothetical.
Question.
I'm trying to get to know you.
Jeez.
I'm the guest. I don't know why I'm trying to get to know you, but I don't, you know, I'm just trying to get to know the host of the show.
I want
to know
it.
Who I'm talking to.
You know, I think one thing we might talk about would be headlines from the news.
Headlines? Like, what kind of headlines?
For instance,
Vince Vaughn gets a DUI. Like that, or
yeah, that could
that,
be one thing.
Or our country's being run by Nazis. Like, which one is the main one you would lean on?
More the Nazis one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, you know, there's this insane Oompa Loompa who's inhabiting the
An Oompa Loompa.
No offense to Oompa Loompas.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. They teach a moral lesson every... Fuck you! And Oompa Loompa, granted they're orange, but they come out and they teach a moral lesson through song every time they show up. If you're comparing our current president to an Oompa Loompa, how dare you, sir? How dare you? That's a racist statement. You're just lumping everybody who's orange together.
I'm going to disallow that. I'm editing that out of the show. And we're moving on to a completely different
disallow?
Subject.
Disallow? Is that a thing?
Is that a thing? That's
I don't
a thing.
Know. It's legal?
This is my show, though.
I know.
Hey,
I don't
I
know
can
how
disallow
you
it.
It. Okay. It's disallowed.
That's a... It's... And later on, we'll put in sound effects of me slapping my hands together.
Okay.
Maybe. But one of the other controversial concepts we might talk about, pulled from the headlines, would be something like... Coca-Cola explores getting into the cannabis market.
Wait, what?
Have you heard about this?
No, I'm excited.
Oh my God.
I haven't enjoyed a Coke in decades, and now it's time.
So
if they put weed in it...
That's the word on the street.
But you know what's funny? It's because they used to put literal cocaine in it.
Right! Yes! That's what I was thinking when I heard that. So now Coca-Cola used to put cocaine... Hence the name, into their drink, is now thinking,
the coca plant.
Well, we can't put cocaine in there.
But we can put weed.
But weed's legal in a lot of places. So what if we put, what they're talking about now, though, is not the THC version of weed, but the CBD version.
Oh, just to take care, take your pain away.
Yeah, so by drinking Coca-Cola, it will be a medicine again.
Wow.
It'll be healthy for you.
Are their sales really that fucking shitty that they want to put weed in the... Are you serious?
I'm not kidding you. This has been talked about on, like, NPR.
Oh, fuck Coca-Cola.
Reputable news sources.
Fuck you, Coca-Cola. Just keep a Coca-Cola.
Well, look...
I don't drink Coca-Cola because it gives me gas and it makes me jittery. And then, you know, when I have a really bad hangover, that's when I drink a Coke.
Yeah.
Because it's a good hangover medicine.
And I have to do one of our mandated sponsorship plugs right now.
Uh-huh.
So Coca-Cola is one of our sponsors. We're really appreciating them.
Are you serious?
Supporting the show. They're giving us all of the CBD oil-infused
I'm just saying I would
when they come out.
Happily do a weed-infused Coca-Cola commercial if that's a thing.
I think it's going to be
I'm sorry I got mad and weird about it.
It's going to be a thing, Todd. You need to start thinking about this with your talent agent,
your manager. I'm less upset about that. I'm more upset. Who?
Are they aware of like where
my,
these opportunities lie?
One thing I've learned about my representatives,
yeah.
And I really hope they're listening, is I don't think they're listening to anything I do. I don't think they watch the fucking show I'm on TV. On a regular basis. I really don't.
Also, big shout out to You're the Worst. You may have heard of this show. It features Todd on television.
Yeah. Periodically.
Periodically. Not every episode.
For a little more than half of the episodes, which is just enough to make me ineligible for a guest star Emmy.
Right. But that's an Emmy-specific rule.
Not a rule. It does not mean I'm a serious regular on the show. But
right.
The Emmys consider me that.
So you were neither a guest star neither when it comes to critical acclaim.
Bank account or my representatives consider that to be a series regular role.
Somehow you
Which may be why they don't watch.
You've threaded that needle somehow.
I did. I threaded the needle of the least happy place you could be.
Which is impressive in its own right.
No, I do a lot of stuff. Like, if anyone was truly a renegade outside of the box, working within the system,
it's me.
It's me.
Yeah.
I should run for office on the Democratic ticket.
Ooh, but as an independent.
But I'm not going to say what I was originally. I'm going to run as a Democrat who's very progressive.
So, small D.
But first, Democrat. I have to get a sex change because I really think a woman. Actually, sex change and
would
maybe get
a
pigment
sex
thing. I think I should be. I think I should. I don't know.
Or wouldn't it just be who you.
I am gender fluid. So, but I can't, can you be racially fluid?
Well, if you're, you know, I think so, because
I don't
you can
think,
have in your heritage, you could be
No, I mean,
mixed race.
I mean, like, identify as something that...
Oh, no, that's bad, we learned a few years back, because there was that lady who was going around pretending to be black, and then they were like, you know what, you're not black, and she's like, that's racist.
What if I did this? What if I, the whitest motherfucking guy on the planet, ran as a black woman or an Asian woman? Like, what? And what if I refused to accept what anybody said about my outward appearance and said, call them racist, misogynist, various bigots? How do you think that would turn out?
I'm envisioning a giant fireball of doom.
Come on, it works for Andy Kaufman in a weird way.
That was a different time, Todd.
That's modern day Kaufman. Modern day Andy Kaufman, that's what he'd be doing. He'd be running as a progressive woman of color.
So sort of like a Wachowski sisters film / series.
Yes.
Would you...
But not...
Would you wear, like, heavy makeup then to make yourself...
No, I would just appear... No, because I think in order for the weird Kaufman-esque satire to work...
Yeah.
I would have to remain looking as ludicrously the opposite of all those things as possible
so
and claiming to be them.
Exactly as you are now.
Uh-huh.
But claiming to be something...
Completely
clearly
different.
Clearly not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at least the lady who got busted for not being African American, which, you know, you look at the I didn't know this was happening until after it blew up, and I look at the pictures like, you guys thought she was. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait.
She's saying it a lot, though, emphatically.
No. And I know, and I think she was actually playing on white racism.
Probably.
And,
to a degree.
Specifically, white liberal racism.
Yeah.
People who will be like, oh, Jesus Christ, if you say that you're that, then I have to accept that.
Sure.
Regardless, that's what she was doing.
Because there are people who are of mixed race who might not appear to be mixed at all.
Exactly. This is what I'm saying. So I run on this ticket. For satirical purposes, not to be offensive.
So kind of like...
Even though it's offensive. I mean, I know it's offensive.
Yeah.
You know, but Andy Kaufman was offensive.
Oh, God, yeah.
So if I could do that, I would at least get all the old white men working in comedy currently, and Dave Chappelle, and Chris Rock, to say, this guy's a genius. They would all say that.
Yes.
And that's what I want. I just want to be accepted by the people who made it maybe 10 to 15 years before I possibly could have and then became huge stars when I didn't. And I just want to be accepted by them.
So you want to time travel is what you're saying.
No, I want them to back me up now.
Oh.
I think that would be the ultimate Kaufman-esque satire is to do this offensive thing that I'm suggesting.
There's so many layers
and then
here.
Get... Norm Macdonald would be on board, you know?
He'd have you on the show tomorrow.
He'd have me on his show tomorrow. Fucking Jimmy Fallon wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, because he's gotten gun-shy after scrubbing on the president's head.
Once bitten.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's hard. You don't want to be fooled twice.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a lot of guys, Norm MacDonald, Michael Ian Black, maybe.
Have you been on Joe Rogan's podcast yet?
Joe Rogan!
Has he not had you on?
No!
Why?
I don't know. I'm not a proud boy.
Oh.
That's the problem. I'm an insecure boy.
Well, are you a CEO billionaire who wants to go to Mars?
Because
he'll have you on if that's the case.
No.
Damn.
The weird thing about podcasts is...
Can you pretend that you are?
I could. I could easily pretend that I have a gazillion dollars and nobody knows about me. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I can do whatever. But I think that that's sort of the thing with the more successful podcasts, unlike yours, is that they love people.
Thank you.
People love a celebrity.
They do. They just automatically love them because, as our president said, they can just grab them by the hoo-ha.
Well, and celebrity's the same thing as, yeah. I mean, grab something by the hoo-ha if you can. Ooh. Celebrity is like religion, you know?
Todd, is it weird that we've known each other for 5 years, and look how much the world has changed?
Yeah.
I keep hearing that in all the Marvel movie trailers. The world has changed.
I feel like you're trying to change the subject. Like, I was about to say something really horrible, and you just changed the subject.
I hope I did. Okay. I hope I prevented you from saying something truly horrible.
I wasn't going to say anything really that bad.
Because we started this thing out just fucking gangbusters.
I have been on shows where I have been accused of eugenics.
Like
eugenics.
Performing eugenics?
Yeah, financing eugenics.
Whoa.
And
that's very
I
specific.
Did not come up with a very compelling argument to defend myself.
You didn't just said, no, that's patently false. That's not true.
No, because
I am
when
not
I go,
a eugenicist.
It's weird. This is the problem. Yeah. We all have our problems, and I think most of them are born out of our upbringing and how we were learned to look at the world and philosophize about it.
So nurture, not nature.
And it's more of a nurture thing. And because I lost my religion at a relatively young age, and then started doing improvisation, yes and became my religion. So no matter what anybody says to me,
oof,
I have to yes and it.
Yeah.
And that, like, if someone just openly comes out and said, so you're spending a lot of money on eugenics research, I immediately go, yes. And it's important to know that I'm not 100% Nazi. Like, that's...
Right.
Which is honestly what right-wing politics are now.
Yeah,
and they
are 100% Nazi.
Yeah, they're 100% Nazi, but they're very good at yes-anding. Are you a Nazi? Yes, and it's important that you know that I'm not a real Nazi. I'm just a person who hangs out with Nazis because I want this one thing.
Sure, it's kind of like... We don't disbelieve Dr. Blasey Ford, and as long as she submits everything she wants to say by Friday 10 a.m. Eastern Time earlier today, she can come and testify on Monday.
Right. Which she agreed to, right? Finally?
I think the last I heard, she said she wanted an FBI investigation first, then she would agree to testify, which...
Did she change that? I think
she
would
say change that.
Oh, okay.
Which might have been in the last like 24 hours.
I don't know. I missed it comes so fast.
There's a lot of stuff happening right now.
It comes so fast.
That's what I'm saying. 5 years ago, Obama's in office. We're like, hey, we're getting out of this deep recession. Things are looking on the up. You and I are doing an amazingly successful, wildly popular, critically acclaimed show at a really reputable online startup network funded by a Froyo.
Sure, sure.
Which I can't say because there's still some ongoing, you know, money stuff there.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to get mixed up in that.
No, you don't.
Things are looking all on the up. And then 2016 rolls around, the 240th anniversary of the founding of our country.
Mm-hmm.
And what the hell happened? We elected a fake successful businessman?
I can tell you what happened. Do you really want to know?
I mean, it's sort of rhetorical. Are you being rhetorical?
Oh, okay.
I just mean so much has changed.
So let's pretend. Let's pretend that I asked the rhetorical question you just asked, but I wasn't being rhetorical. I was literally asking that question. What's the answer?
Can you repeat the question?
No.
Okay.
You said it. You said it. How did we elect this man? I boiled it down to this. How did we wind up with Donald Trump in office? Like, what's happening?
Okay,
on our 240th anniversary year of our shit bird country. By the way, like, I was born here, okay?
You were born in Simi Valley?
No, not in Simi Valley, in the United States of America.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was born on the other coast. I've seen
red-blooded Yankee man.
I've been to most of the states in this union.
Most? Really?
I have not yet been to Alaska.
Okay.
And there's a few, but I've been to the majority.
I count the Dakotas as one state, by the way.
Okay, cool, because I've only been to one.
Fine.
I've been to Nebraska, I've been to Kansas, I've been to Tennessee, I've been to Texas. I've been all over the South, because when I was a kid, I was obsessed with the Allman Brothers.
Okay.
And, like, Southern fried rock.
Huh.
Like, I like Skynyrd.
Yeah.
Kind of. Mm. But I was really into the Almonds.
Yeah.
And Little Feet.
Little Feet!
Yeah, Little Feet.
Willin'.
Dixie Chicken.
One of my favorite songs.
And so much of what they sang about... And the band.
Oh
my fuck. The band. So good. And they sang about, like, Southern culture, and I was just so fascinated by the...
Yeah.
The band especially was really good about bringing out the dichotomy of the South. Like, we're polite, you know? But fuck, we fought on the wrong side. But then we lost, and we're sad about it. But you guys were probably right, but that's what the band's thing was, is we're fucking sad, and you've abandoned us, even though you kicked our ass. And it's weird because it's in the same country.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you fight a different country, and then when you win, you're just like, fuck off. Deal with your shit.
You're in a different country.
Deal with your
shit,
Germany.
But that's not what a civil war is.
You housed Nazis. By the way, this is one of my biggest fears currently.
We're going to a civil war?
No.
Oh.
No. Oh. People always talk about that. All right. I don't know what we were talking about.
I mean,
there
was Captain America Civil War. We were talking about the Marvel trailers. They're all saying the world has changed.
Fuck.
And I feel like the world is changing.
Marvel's overall narrative trajectory cinematically is offensive to me. Cinematically universally is offensive to me.
Okay.
Because it all comes down to Avengers Infinity War. And Civil War was...
Avengers Infinity War Part 2.
Civil War was a shit movie for a lot of reasons.
I can't argue
with that. The least of which
was... I really liked Winter Soldier.
It's a...
Throw that out there.
I get you. It's a gazillion-dollar movie that ends with Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans just fist fighting. It's like, fuck you. This is a B-movie. This is B-movie shit, which I would watch because when you're watching a B-movie where whoever, Jason Statham currently is sort of the guy.
Okay, Meg.
Not the Meg. The Meg is a bad example. But any other Jason Statham movie, you know, like ends with him punching a guy.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
All right, fuck the guy. The early Statham and the most recent Statham. You're making this too difficult.
It's like the bookends don't match up, but it's that fucking thick middle.
Forget the Statham thing.
Yeah.
Like I can watch a B-movie where it's just shootouts and an occasional car crash, and then it ends with two guys fighting each other.
Yeah.
Awesome. Because the reason for that is if you're watching a Statham movie or... Fuck, a Gary Busey movie from the late 80s, early
90s. Yeah, now you're talking.
You know, a Mario Van Peebles movie from the early 90s. A Seagal movie from the late 80s, early 90s. These are B-movies. They're lower-budgeted movies.
Absolutely.
So all they have is the martial arts prowess of their lead versus the martial arts prowess of their antagonist, whoever it may be.
Yeah.
And, you know, and sometimes it's good. And sometimes it doesn't make any sense. Like a black belt fighting Tommy Lee Jones at Under Siege in the first Under Siege movie is sort of like, well, what's the point of this? Oh, he put a knife in his head. It's okay now. But up until then, it's like, why Tommy Lee Jones can't fight this guy? It's Steven Seagal. Now Tommy Lee Jones has a shot.
Why does Tommy Lee Jones have a shot now?
Right now?
Yeah.
Have you seen Steven Seagal?
Oh.
Tommy Lee Jones is old.
Yeah.
But he's... sinewy or sinewy. Or how do you say that word?
Sinewy?
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 Sinewy.
I'm not sure.
I don't either.
But I know what you're
like
saying.
But he's like that. He's like, but Steven Seagal is a big...
He's like...
A big marshmallow with Dracula hair. Yeah, who get... Like, he can't fucking fight Tommy Lee. He can fight a couple of Russian white guys who've been told to lose.
Correct.
Which he puts on the internet periodically, and it's always fun to watch. Because it's ridiculous.
I've not seen this.
Oh my god, look that up. Yeah. Steven Seagal in a, what do they call it when it's like not a real match, it's just a match for charity or for whatever.
Oh, like a celebrity boxing match or
whatever. Like they call it like a charity match.
Oh.
I don't know. It's just for show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's not real. It's not, like, not like his movies where he was really fighting people.
So when he's in Russia, you know, Putin and him, they love each other.
They're bubbies.
So Putin sets him up with these fake matches where he's just like there to show his stuff.
Right.
And he's just a big, he's a big fella.
He's a big fat fella.
He's a big, let's not body shame. Let's call him morbidly obese.
Okay. That seems
that's not better.
Worse.
That's not better. Yeah. No, he's, you're right. But I've been.
He is a large man.
I have been fairly criticized.
And he has weird facial hair.
We can make fun of his hair, I think. But I think, like, I've been criticized for making fun of his body as it is. Because he is, as you say, fat. And he's out of shape.
Okay.
He's out of shape.
Can we say that?
Let's put it this way. If Michelle Yeoh was Steven Seagal sized, and I said she was fat, that I would get a lot of shit for that. So I have rightly been given a lot of shit. That was my text. I got a text message. Sorry about that noise.
He's got lots of important people calling him, everybody. It's it happens every show.
And by lots, you mean my wife. But anyway,
she's important.
The people were right when they said I had body shamed him, and that was unfair. And
so let's criticize him on his weird ideology.
Let's criticize him on the fact that he's a fucking traitor to the United States of America.
Yeah.
He's in bed with fucking Russia, and he has these bullshit martial arts matches where these little white Russian guys rush at him, and they're so fast.
Yeah.
It's awesome. They're going at him.
They could
fast.
Probably destroy
him. They would destroy him, and he just puts his arm out, and they like voluntarily get clotheslined.
It's like something out of Action Siege.
Yeah, and he chokes him out. Yeah.
Which, if you guys have never seen Action Siege...
I don't know that I've seen Action Siege.
What's Action that? Siege?
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 Siege.
Siege, as in like a siege?
It's a siege.
Siege.
I pronounce it siege.
Oh, well, that's the French version.
It's an action siege. What I think siege is a French word.
I don't even think it's so authentically done. Original kind of schlocky B-movie stuff. I don't even think you can find it online anymore.
Who's in this?
This guy, Steve Skelton, was the director.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He came up with the concept.
Uh-huh.
And then it features a bunch of, like, character actors. Uh-huh. Kind of like B-movie stars, B, C, D, Z level people. and it's basically like what the Seagal movies used to be.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, classic. There's a clear story arc.
Yeah.
You know who the bad guys are. You know who the good guys are.
Sure.
And the good guys kick the shit out of the bad guys.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
That's all an action movie needs to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, that's... But it wasn't that, because it was like a fake... It was just him fighting people on a mat.
With Vladimir Putin just saying, hey, Spetsnaz guys, just lose to this guy.
I don't know if Putin's even there. Like, if you look at the YouTube video, I don't know if he's there. But the important thing is that it's a stadium full of people. Like,
there's a stadium?
It's a
stadium!
This? Of people.
This is happening in Russia somewhere.
In Russia, it's a stadium. People who love Seagal in Russia and China. Yeah. They love him in China.
Okay. Because he's got that new movie out.
The China Salesman.
With Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
And his facial tattoo.
So if you want to give money to not one, but two, one convicted, the other just alleged rapists.
Yeah.
There's your movie. I have seen it.
Straight to Blu-ray, or where is that?
It was like a VOD movie, I think. But now, yeah, I'm sure it's on video.
Good Lord.
Wow. Maybe, who knows, maybe I have a copy of it. I don't know.
Well, you've got, like, how many Blu-rays do you have now?
Blu-rays? Yeah. Or just, like...
Or DVDs.
Movies. Can we go movies? Because I have some on VHS.
Yeah. Movies. All
that aren't available anymore.
Yeah.
Like
the original version of Star Wars before George Lucas put the...
That's actually available on DVD.
Is
or
it?
It was for a limited time. They did a special edition box set of the original trilogy.
A special edition of the original edition.
A special edition box set of the original trilogy of the Star Wars movies.
But without the added CGI.
Well, no.
Oh, it had the added CGI.
If you would let me finish.
I don't want to. But please, continue.
All I'm saying is one of the special features on the special edition DVD that I bought, box set, where they had the main feature was the CGI enhanced ones. And enhance is a wrong word to use. It's like CGI fucked up ones.
Dehanced.
Shitified. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But they also had digital copies, which were basically transports of the Laserdisc onto this DVD. The problem being is those are not enhanced for a widescreen TV.
So they're 4:3?
If you have them, no. They're widescreen, but not enhanced for a 69 TV. So you see them on like a postage stamp sized.
Whoa.
It's in the proper aspect ratio, but it's a tiny picture within your giant TV.
Oh.
So that's the only, outside of the Laserdisc, that's the only way you can get Star Wars digitally. But the Laserdisc is also the same way. If you have a Laserdisc player and you play it on your TV, it's going to be, there's going to be black bars all around the picture.
Did you see a Star Wars story, the Han Solo movie?
I did.
Thoughts? Feelings?
Solo, in my personal estimation, is the best Star Wars movie.
Really?
Since the new reboot.
Okay, The Force Awakens.
So, I think The Force Awakens, it's mediocre.
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
I thought The Last Jedi, it was okay. It's fine, but and when you're watching it, it's fine. But you think if you think about it,
it's the same.
And
story.
I don't think you're supposed to.
No.
But if you think about it, it's not very good. Rogue One, I really liked.
I liked Rogue One.
It's very dark. It was Empire Strikes Back-y, but it kind of lost the sense of humor. Like the problem I had with Rogue One is there wasn't enough comedy in it, and it was very dark. And it took itself a little too seriously for a Star Wars movie. I don't think Star Wars should take itself seriously. But I still liked it because it was pretty and the acting was good. And I just... And, you know, it was just kind of a fun idea.
Yeah, it was a fun idea.
It was a fun idea to make a whole movie about a plot hole in the movie that launched the series.
Like a throwaway line.
And also added like 18 more plot holes to the whole mythology when you really break it down. But I didn't care. They were addressing the one plot hole from the... And that was fun. And it had Mads Mikkelsen. I like that guy. So...
Mads.
So that one was fine. The Last Jedi, I thought was a mess.
Oh, yeah. It's a hot mess.
I don't hate it.
I didn't hate it either. But I can't say
I was fine with
everything that was going on.
The Last Jedi, for me, it's the same as The Predator.
The Predator?
The new movie? Predator. The new movie.
The Shane Black.
The only difference between Last Jedi and The Predator, you know, as far as my critical opinion of it is, at least The Last Jedi didn't have to cut out an actual scene with an actual Predator. So it has that going for it, which is nice.
Yeah.
But they're equally messy. But in the end, I'll watch them. And I will watch them more than once. Because they have the stuff that I want. The Predators got some Predators. And the Predators kill some people. And the people fight back. And that's all you want from a Predator movie. Star Wars has got... The Last Jedi has got all these Star Wars people in it. And then space fights. And that's all I really want. So the criticisms that I have of Star Wars movies just come down to, you know, picking nits, I think.
Yeah. Do you think the Star Wars cinematic universe, they're going to make it work? Because it seems like they've had a couple of Missteps.
Well, I think the problem is, and this is what I'm saying about Solo, Solo is the purest Star Wars movie. And I'm going to say this, and this is very controversial for Star Wars nerds. And
love having that on the show. Controversial, let's go.
I'm all about it. If this upsets you, by the way, shut off your television. Go outside. Try to get laid.
This episode of the Toncast brought to you by Trader Joe's 12-year scotch.
Don't force yourself on anybody who you might want to have sex with, but try harder. Like, stop screaming. Pouring your energy in the...
That's good advice, Todd? Yes.
Well, no. Pour yourself into finding love and loving. Just loving. You know, without sex. Just go out and just try to love people and stop complaining about Star Wars because that's stupid. Right?
Yes,
am I wrong?
Absolutely. The weird, crazy hate from the Star Wars
fans. It's weird. I'm not allowed to criticize The Last Jedi anymore.
It's called a space opera. it's not real.
What's up, Ginny? My cat is meowing at us. She really wants to be part of this.
She's part of the show.
Anyway, all I'm saying is, I can't criticize The Last Jedi anymore because, if you do that online, people will jump on you and say, well, you're a misogynist or you're a racist or something like that.
I hope people start criticizing you because then we'll be getting some feedback. You're going to start diagnosing, okay, what is the audience like?
But that's not why I have a problem with The Last Jedi. And again, I don't have a problem with The Last Jedi on the level that I won't watch it again.
Yeah.
I just have a problem with it and it's not very good.
But that seems fair to me.
Ideally, I mean, ultimately, I would say that there's no Star Wars movie that's ever been made that is all that good.
Oh, you don't even think, like, Empire Strikes Back
was good? Yeah, people always bring that up. I think Solo...
I think it was good.
I think Solo is a better movie than Empire Strikes Back.
Whoa. Well, yeah. I haven't seen Solo yet.
Well, nobody has.
Right.
Except the real diehards and me. Yeah. And the thing about it is, Solo... is more like Star Wars, A New Hope.
The very first
Star Wars movie, because it's fun, and it's frothy, and it's nonstop adventure.
Yep.
And I liked everybody. I liked the guy who played Solo.
Yeah, I heard that the acting coach that they brought in, like, worked, and he's...
Was it an acting coach thing?
Yeah, they had to, like, bring in an acting coach or something, because he wasn't... Although, that could have been a director thing, because, you know, there were the two guys that were directing it, and then they brought in Ron Howard, so who knows what was going on exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. He got screwed by that, because that's that's an upheaval. If you're dealing with... Any actor who deals with that kind of upheaval can get fucked so hard.
Yeah, no,
and I've been fucked on that level. And then I've watched my work on the and not on the level of a Star Wars movie, but on like a shitty Disney show or whatever.
Yeah.
I've gone through that. Like what he went through, I can't imagine. The pressure that they put on him. Because I worked on a half-hour show as a guest star.
Yeah.
And I had a producer pulling me aside on my lunch break, giving me line readings and telling me, if we can't sell your character, this episode is dead. As if it was all on my shoulders.
The whole episode.
The whole episode was on my shoulders, according to this producer. Whoa. So I can't imagine, because a lot of it was on this guy's shoulders, because he's the lead actor, but being told, you know, oh, you're not doing this because you were doing that with those guys, and now this guy wants you to do this, and now you have to adjust it, and we have to have a coach. That must be horrible.
Oh, I can only imagine
that
the
must
chaos
just
that was
fill
involved.
You up with an immense amount of insecurity.
Yeah.
And he's not bad.
Yeah.
And if you know this actor's backstory, Jesus Christ.
What is his backstory?
He has been through some shit. I'm not going to pretend to remember all the details, but his childhood is as abhorrent as anybody else's.
Oh.
So this is a guy who had a horrible childhood, breaks out of it. I know he's a white guy. Granted. So there's some white privilege because there's lots of other people of color and blah, blah, blah who've had horrible childhoods. But that notwithstanding, because I know that's like a thing that people say, right?
People
would say, well, at least he's a white guy. Yeah, of course he's a white guy. I get that. And he got things that other people wouldn't have got because he's a white guy playing a role originated by a white guy. I get that.
No.
But just imagine you're a kid because he's so young. You imagine you're a kid. You come out of being a kid. You spent this horrible nightmare of a childhood. The worst things imaginable happen. I think it was something like his mother was murdered in front of him or something like that bad. So he gets out of that. He gets a couple of jobs as a kid actor. You know, that gets him out of it, distracts him from that horror. He's made to feel good. Then he gets this iconic role in an iconic franchise that can't fail. And it's Solo, financially, if you look at it, well, it didn't fail.
Oh, no?
It failed only according to its projections. But it actually did not lose money.
Oh.
It effectively killed the Solo Star Wars movies because it did not make the gazillions of dollars it should have.
It didn't hit the
billion
mark.
But technically, it's not a financial failure.
Okay?
So... And there's no way a Star Wars movie can be a financial failure because the only thing anybody ever looks at with movies that are theatrically released on a wide level is the box office on the first and second weekend. And after that, nothing matters. But it does matter because movies like the Rocky Horror Picture Show and The Big Lebowski. The Big Lebowski is a great example. The Big Lebowski would not be what it is today if it wasn't for aftermarkets. That fucking movie tanked.
Oh, it tanked big time.
Yeah.
Critics didn't like it.
But really tanked. The box office, you look at the box office receipts, it lost money.
Yeah.
But now it's made money because the box office doesn't fucking matter.
Well, but with streaming now, removing physical media, that's disrupting the whole direct-to-video market, the whole home video market that the studios were banking on for so long, which was, that's right, the box office doesn't matter so much because we're going to make as much, if not more, once this thing goes to video.
Right, but absolutely. But
and now
but
that's that, not...
But that's because corporations, which are generally run by old white guys who refuse to change... And look, this is my problem with doctors.
Whoa. Okay.
It's the same thing.
Subject shift, but okay.
A good doctor is a doctor who never stops evolving, regardless of how old he gets. He knows what's up. Like, I have a dentist.
Yeah.
Or rather, I'm sorry, not dentist. Well, I have a good dentist. I don't want to shit on my dentist, but I was going to go with optometrist.
Mm-hmm.
He's an older fella. He's an older white fella.
Yeah.
But he was aware of my personal situation.
Mm-hmm.
And he remembers it. I only see him once a year. And he remembers it every year. He's like, how are you going with that? And then he read some research because he researches and continues to read and understand his own profession and his own craft, if you will. And he saw something. And he was like, this might help this guy. And when I came in for my annual, he was like, are you still having these problems? Because I read this whole thing about this thing and maybe... This other doctor, like another optometrist that I will leave him for.
He's giving up money.
He's giving up money to help me. He said, I think maybe she can help you. So go talk to her. So I did.
And?
And she helped me a little bit.
Oh.
Because, it's these glasses I'm wearing.
Right? Oh.
But it reduces my chronic head pain.
Ever so slightly.
But it actually
reduces it.
Enough to help.
Because I know you've talked to me, we've talked about the chronic head pain that you've had.
Right.
Over the years that I've known you. And I know it's gone on longer than that, even.
Right.
So, okay, this isn't just like a Bono kind of U2 moment, rock star kind of thing. These glasses are physically...
Right, and they look cool, helping. But because I'm not cool, I constantly have to explain to people I'm not trying to be cool.
Well, to be fair...
Which is what Roy Orbison had to do, apparently. Because his glasses were corrective prescription glasses.
But he did not look cool.
No, he did look cool. But people... His look became cool because his voice was fucking transcendent.
Well, yes.
Roy Orbison was transcendent.
Oh, I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying if you look at him only visually...
Yeah, but it wasn't cool, but then it became cool. So glasses like these, Don't think for a second that Robert Evans chose those glasses because Roy Orbison didn't have a similar pair. Robert Evans was trying to look like fucking Roy Orbison. He's trying to be a rock star.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
So, nothing to disparage Robert Evans. I'm just saying that's what happens. But everybody thinks that I'm Robert Evans. I'm trying to look like Robert Evans.
Okay.
But I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't even really like his work that much.
But you have made strides in starting your own podcast studio.
That's true.
Which is the beginning of sort of becoming a Robert Evans-like figure.
Is it?
I'm just saying there's some parallels.
I don't feel like
I have the
intensity or power or toxicity to like push myself in the way that those kinds of people do. I really don't.
You don't think that you
I am the meek.
A Harvey Weinstein like figure who rises from sort of nothing.
I could role play that with the right woman, maybe. As long as it's all consensual.
Yeah.
And we're like playing a weird sex game. I could do that, maybe. But I could never be Harvey Weinstein. No.
Yeah. Good. Good answer.
But the thing is beyond that, I don't understand why there are... I, like, never understood it. I guess what I'm saying is... And I'm not, like, trying to paint myself as a saint. I'm a horrible person. I want you to understand that.
Whoa. But I'm there's Harvey person. Weinstein, and then there's horrible
And then there's me. Todd, yeah. Yeah. I don't think I'm toxic white masculinity, but there's no doubt that I have white privilege. And I'm a white man, and sometimes I get drunk and think my opinions matter.
Well, I don't think that inherently makes you a truly awful person.
No. It just maybe makes me amusing to the right kind of other person.
Maybe.
It also makes me offensive.
Twitter fodder or something, you know?
Yeah, I could be taken down by Twitter.
You know?
I think there's some tweets that I made like maybe 5 or 6 years ago that could get me into trouble.
Oh, cool. I think I'll delete them.
I'm not going to because I can't. Like, if you scroll down, it fucking shuts off at a certain point.
I can't find them anyway.
Maybe that's why James Gunn didn't delete his tweets because like he was like, I want to delete these, but it's too hard.
It's like 3 years ago. It's 3, like
he'll spend like a
ago.
Week just like doing this, and if you go to bed, it fucking reverts back to the beginning. You got to do it again. It's like a nightmare. But James Gunn could have called Twitter and said, there's these tweets I'm trying to find from this era. Can you help me get to them?
You
and
may they know me from such movies
if
as...
I do that, Twitter's going to be like, what the fuck? Fuck you.
Well, not if you tell them this is television's...
I made a very vague reference.
Robert Anderson.
Yeah, maybe. No, they wouldn't.
Started with that.
I'm not verified.
What?
Twitter, if
you're listening to this...
I have under 1,000 followers.
I don't give a goddamn.
How many followers
do you have?
You're
still Robert Anderson. Oh, man, I think I'm up to almost, like, 300 now.
Nice.
Yeah.
How do you get followers?
I don't know.
Like, how does someone get a million fucking followers?
You have to produce viral, like, tweets.
But how do you do that if you don't have a bunch of followers?
It's all in the hashtags.
Oh.
You just put in the right hashtags with whatever witticism you've written in there. And as long as it's targeted at the right Twitter sub-demographic or whatever it is, it gets picked up by one person, then they tell their friends, and blah, and then
so you just gotta hashtag people.
Not hashtag people.
No, hashtag a thing,
right.
Which is hashtagging people.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
What I meant. You're right. Not adding people.
It's like putting in the right keywords or whatever in your search term, except you're adding it to your tweet so that it gets picked up by the algorithms.
I get you.
Yeah, and how to effectively do that, I don't know.
I think a lot of people buy their Twitter followers.
Oh my god, yeah. Well, do you think that this whole...
Because you can sell... Steve Agee, you know that dude?
Oh yeah, I know Steve. I love Steve Agee.
He's...
Hilarious, talented actor who should also not just be a guest star appearing on shows. He should be a series regular on stuff.
And he's way more successful than me, as he should be. He's a great guy. But he had a Twitter, and his biggest regret is he had a Twitter account with more than a million followers.
Whoa, he did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And he does now, but he got rid of it.
The whole thing?
Because he got, like I do, I get social media fatigue. And yeah. Then I'm like, fuck this. Like, you got rid of your Facebook.
I got rid of it.
Did you get rid of your Twitter?
I didn't. I kept the Twitter.
But you got rid of the Facebook.
I got rid of the Facebook. I've been thinking about it for a while. I was like, I barely, like, use this thing.
Oh.
And when I started using social media back in, like, 2000s... Well, I started out with my Friendster, which was pre-MySpace, and then MySpace came along, and then Facebook. I think around the time Facebook came along, I started to realize, like, oh, this is really an effective tool for marketing. And I was working. That's what
social media is for. Right?
That's all it is. Yeah, that's all it's for. If you're on there just as a regular person, I mean, I'm sorry, but you're just putting yourself out there to be farmed and data mined and all this stuff. And that's really all it is. I mean, you can have conversations with your friends online and everything, but you're better off having those conversations in person or on the phone or some type of.
Maybe I should call it down, because I... Shut the fuck up, Jenny. Just come up on my lap. Come on. It's my cat.
Hey.
She's very needy.
Everybody, Jenny, did you hear the podcast?
Every time I podcast in this room, she wants to be a part of it.
And she's like, why are all these people talking?
So talk now. Into the mic. Use your microphone voice. Nothing. I put her up to the mic. Nothing.
She folds.
Yeah. She's a shitty cat.
Stage fright.
Oh, she's so cute, though. Look at her face. I'm sorry, I got off on a cat tangent.
We were talking about the shittiness of social media, just how toxic it is, and how it really is a marketer's wet dream.
And
I get all of your data for free because you're giving it to me willingly.
Maybe I should remove everyone from Facebook except family members, because I do enjoy keeping in touch with cousins.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of family stuff, it's like the new version of the photo album, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, grandma, grandpa, want to keep up with what's going on with the kids. They live 3,000 miles away.
But I have a terrible habit on Facebook. If I don't follow anyone who doesn't have mutual friends of mine.
Okay.
Like, you have to be...
You have to know them through 6 degrees of separation.
Something like that. Like, and a lot of the ones that I get are like, you know, it'll be like a picture of a hot 21-year-old and be like, let's fuck.
Right. They'll be like, we'll have a private conversation in this.
You're a sex bot. I'm not going there. But then there's also arbitrary people. And I've dealt with stalkings. I've had stalkers.
Well, and you're right about the bots. I've worked on some shows, all behind-the-scenes type stuff, where we learned that a certain show we were working on, it was a YouTube show. Mm-hmm. Very big deal. And what we found out was it wasn't getting the numbers we were expecting of viewers. And while this was never stated explicitly, part of the reason it wasn't getting those numbers is because this show was specifically... not buying bots. They were not buying views, which a lot of popular YouTubers do.
Uh-huh.
And you can do the same thing on Twitter, Instagram, any social media platform service.
Sure.
You can go buy, like, here's the rate for 1,000 followers or whatever. And so it ended up getting shut down. Partially because they realized... I mean, this is sort of my theory. You know, I can't say this is 100% fact, but this is my thinking, is that they realized, okay, we're now actually showing people what the actual numbers on YouTube look like. And advertisers, people looking to YouTube as the next big deal, this is where all the kids are watching their content, we want to monetize this thing, we don't want them to think that, oh, these are the real numbers. When every other popular YouTuber has numbers way bigger than this.
Right.
And part of that is, the ability to buy your viewership. And it goes back to, well, is that better than, say, the Nielsen ratings or the Arbitron ratings, which were all a centralized way of recording statistics?
Sure. Yeah.
Which have their own flaws, absolutely.
The Nielsen's... is the most flawed system of figuring out what's popular ever.
It really is, because basically...
If the Nielsen's were real... I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
But if the Nielsen's were real, Tim Allen wouldn't ever have been a thing.
Now, why do you say that, Todd?
Because conservatives, like actual diehard conservatives, yeah, make up what we know right now, make up 32% of this country. That's not enough of a viewership to make for a network show. It's just fucking not.
Mm.
And liberals are not watching Tim Allen shit.
Yeah.
They're not.
No.
So the Nielsens are all skewed. They're all placed in the Midwest. Because it, like, what is that? First of all, why is it all based in the Midwest? Because the Midwest is not hugely populated. It's like basing your rating system out of modern day New England. That doesn't make any sense because there's nobody there.
Yeah. Well, when I worked in radio about a decade ago, I got the chance to go to the Arbitron headquarters. And for radio, Arbitron's their version of Nielsen ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And the way Arbitron works, or at least the way it used to work, it may have changed now, but the way it used to work is they'd send you a pamphlet, and it would include like a schedule of days, and you would write down, you know, what you listened to as accurately as you could each day, for how many hours, whatever it was, and it'd also include a small cash payment.
Hmm.
If you were from a...
Yeah, the Nielsen's like if you have the box, you get like free right. cable plus $15 a month.
Exactly.
And free cable is a big deal.
It is.
I mean, right now, that's a huge deal.
Oh, God, right now
I would
huge.
Fucking straight up join the Nielsen family. I don't care. Put a fucking box on my TV. You'll be like, this guy doesn't watch anything but movies.
Tap right in and suck out all my data.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's the way it worked was they would get one person who would respond correctly. I'm using air quotes that correctly because they filled it out fully. They put things in that seemed reasonable.
Sure.
And then they sent it back in, which is a whole thing to actually take your time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Put the postage stamp on the envelope, mm-hmm. send it back to Arbitron or Nielsen or whatever. And so then those same rating agencies keep going to the same people.
Sure.
Because they are consistent. And yeah. So you're talking about why is Tim Allen so popular?
And they're finding people who want to talk.
Because the same... Because
old people...
Grandma
old white people.
Doing it.
Old white
they,
people.
They agreed to do it and they did it consistently. They did it reliably.
When I first moved to LA, I worked at NRG.
What's NRG?
The National Research Group.
Ooh.
And what they do...
Sounds like a lobbying group or something.
It's a very generic name for a very underground and very creepy company. I mean, did you ever see that movie with Vin Diesel, Boiler Room?
Yes. Okay.
So this is that, mm-hmm. but it's not as high pressured as sales.
For fake stock or whatever.
For fake stock.
Yeah.
It's just cold calling people.
Yeah.
And asking them a scripted amount of questions about the movies that are out in theaters or coming out in theaters.
Yeah.
And the only people you could keep on the phone, I could keep on the phone, but I talked to a number of people. Like I talked to a lot of my coworkers. It's like, how do you do this? What do you do? And everybody was just saying, I don't know. I just do that. I don't know. Everybody was just collecting their fucking $8 an hour. It's such a fucking shit show of a job. And there's the occasional person who's trying to move up the ladder and being a manager. Manager just means you're like walking around looking at people.
Yes.
And then
you're
like,
making sure they're working.
Yeah. And then there's some managers who like have it in the ear and they're they like randomly pick calls to listen into, and if they don't like what you do, they call you into the office and do that. Or if they do like what you do, they call you in the office and go, you keep doing this, you'll be a manager soon. And like I literally got told that and was like, Jesus fucking Christ, and I quit that day.
So it was telemarketing?
It wasn't telemarketing. That's what one of the first things you'd say when you called. I'm not a telemarketer, I'm just asking questions. It's a poll.
Okay.
You know, but poll, like, who has fucking time or wants to talk to some stranger on the phone about some bullshit?
Right.
Politics, movies, food. I don't fucking do it. Every time someone calls me, like, I'm not selling. I just want to ask a question. Fuck off. And I hang up the phone.
Yeah.
That's mostly what you get. Fuck off. Fuck off. Fuck off.
Right.
And then you either get a senile person, old person,
yep,
or a genuinely crazy person who wants somebody
to listen.
Anybody to listen to their opinion.
Yeah.
And then it's this game of, like, you're not allowed to be honest.
Oh, God, no.
You are not allowed to, if the crazy person says something, you go, oh, shit, yeah, that's totally true. Don't ever do that.
Yeah.
You just yes and that in the most disgusting way possible into answering a fucking question that you want to ask.
Oh, wow, so your yes anding actually goes back into, like, multiple jobs that you've worked, not just...
Oh, yeah, sure, sure. It's been... yes and is... Well, that there's no accident that they teach improv in, like, corporate...
Do they?
Yeah, of course. It's a huge skill. I've heard this from so many people. Just the yes and concept and actually taking an improv class and understanding how that works organically.
Could you just, for a moment, just for the audience who may not know what yes and is, sort of break it down? I mean, it's pretty clear.
It's very simple. If somebody says something, regardless of what it is, you say yes and this thing. So you build, rather than going, like, okay, like, say you're talking to a Nazi, a.k.a. modern American conservative. Say you're talking to a person like that.
The KKK.
The KKK.
Some member.
The KKK.
Protest rally.
Or just
you're walking by and you're like, oh,
just
Jesus,
a Trump supporter. Like
or any, Trump supporter. Kind of interchangeable.
Anyone with their head up their ass.
Yeah.
And they say something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, you know, if you don't understand, it's nature when young men grope young women. And by making
more specifically, like when a 17-year-old man from a preparatory school in suburban Maryland gropes a 15-year-old freshman sophomore.
Puts his hand over her mouth.
To stop her from screaming.
And to stop her from screaming, and she escapes.
Yeah.
And he gives up after that.
That's nature.
That's nature.
Uh-huh.
If he had fully raped her, that's not nature.
That's nurture?
That's criminal.
Oh.
But what he did, according to some people... Ooh. Is just natural.
Yeah, that's just boys being boys.
And if you're not understanding the way nature works, like the caveman thing of knocking a lady over the head and dragging her back to the cave,
right.
If you don't understand how nature works, then you're the problem.
I hurt
you. Not the rapist.
Because I care about you.
Yeah. Not the rapist.
Not the rapist. Abuser.
And any liberal who flies off the lid and gets a like small theater in LA shut down because some jackass made a pro-rapist statement, they're as stupid as the rapist, according to some people. I'm not one of those. But how did I get off on this tangent? What was my... I was going somewhere with that.
Well, we were talking about neo-Nazis being idiots and you're walking by. I was just asking you about to define yes and.
Oh, right. Yes and. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
So
even if you're talking to some
even
crazy
if you're talking
character.
To, the, like, these horrible rapist apologists.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, fuck you, you're an idiot.
Or saying, no.
No,
but
you're
that's
bad.
Also wrong.
You're bad, and we have to go to war. Rather than doing that, you yes and it.
Yeah.
So you say, yes. And also, whatever would come after that for you.
Yeah.
For me, yes and doesn't always work. Doesn't work.
It doesn't always work in that situation.
It doesn't work for me, but I mean, that's the idea on a corporate level, is you can yes and... That's the whole fucking thing, is to stop office politics from being abhorrent, is you yes and... Like, if you're a manager, you're yes anding everybody.
Right.
Like, if this person has a problem with this, but yes, and that's an important point. And there's also this element of this that we need to build on top of that.
Right.
But maybe some of that needs to be... gotten rid of in order to get to this awesome place we're trying to get, and your opponent, yes, that's a great point, and maybe we can take that element of that point and put it up here. That's the corporate version of it.
It sounds like a really like advanced way of doing that would be to take what some idiot might say that's totally wrong, yes and it, but yes and it in a way where you're completely denying everything they said. You know, where they're like, I think that I should be able to abuse people. And you're like, yes, and that's completely wrong. Like, you could do that.
You could do, that's not really yes-anding.
Oh, no, I got that wrong.
No, no, you did.
Damn it.
Yes, and you fucked that up. But you're right.
Yeah.
But the truth is...
You couldn't do it as simply as that. but you could go through some extra, like, loops of some type.
Right, exactly. You know? And the truth is, I don't believe yes and is always right.
It's not always the correct response to every situation.
According to most of the improvisational shows I've attended, yes and is a terrible philosophy and leads to boring bullshit. But I like the concept. In a creative fashion, I don't think it necessarily works on stage, like, without a script. Mm. But I think yes and works great within a creative relationship in which you're building on top of it. Like, really good improvers who've been doing it for years, they can do a show where they don't need a script. They just can yes-and each other. And they have a relationship, but they've yes-anded their relationship into supporting each other no matter what. It's a little different than just, like, blind yes-anding. Right?
Yeah, I follow you. Absolutely. It's like you've got a certain structure already in place.
Right.
And then when you've got maybe some choices you can make, like, oh, we could keep going down that very strict structure, or maybe we take a little detour here to add a little twist.
Right.
You yes and it to take it in that, give it that little extra bit of something extra.
This is exactly what I'm saying. So, as far as yes and, I mean, I think it can help you.
Yeah.
Like, it can make you, but I also think at a certain point, if somebody's, oh my God, my family's home.
Oh, we've got some new special guests arriving.
Hi, Colby.
Hi.
How are you?
It's a walk-on. We're doing a show. Under five, Colby. We don't have the money.
And Hillary's here, too.
Oh, hello, Hillary.
I'm just looking. I'm working on the sound. Everything sounds really great.
Oh, thank you.
Good job,
thanks for
guys.
Working on the sound. How'd you do that in the car on the way here?
I need to be able to hear it from the car.
Oh, from outside.
Whether or not the sound is good.
Okay,
way
thank
to yes
you.
And, by the way.
We were just talking about that.
Weird. Oh, what's your feeling?
I yes and it. I said, yes, you're doing that, and how do you do it?
Oh.
It wasn't negating. It was challenging.
It wasn't negating. I've been under the bed the whole time.
All of those sounds you heard were made organically by Hillary. There was no car. There was no door. There was no automatic garage door opener.
I love that my wife called me out for not yes-anding. I don't know why you're not ending the show on that.
Well, I was going to say, Todd, yes, I should end the show.
Yes, and I should end the show.
And let's go partake of
more whiskeys.
Beverages.
All right, let's do that. Thanks for having me on your show, John Salvia.
Thanks for letting me host your show, Todd Anderson.